let's discuss today the halacha. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh, correct? Am I correct? Is that tonight? When is Rosh Chodesh? Today? Tonight?
Tonight.
No tachlun by mincha. No tachlun by mincha. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh. Beginning with Rosh Chodesh, there is a minhag Yisrael not to eat basar, not to eat meat. Now the truth is, where does all this come from? We have to really analyze the sources for this custom. The first place we find the custom is the Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Tainis. The problem though is, according to the Bavli, the Talmud Bavli, the only time you're not allowed to eat meat in honor, in observance of the Avelus of Yerushalayim is one day. And that is Erev Tisha B'Av for the Suda Hamafsekis. So in other words, according to the Ikar Hadin, you're allowed to eat meat the entire 3 weeks, that's for sure. And you can eat meat the entire Rosh Chodesh Av and the entire month. The time that you're not allowed, that you have to stop eating meat, is the Suda Hamafsekes Erev Tisha B'Av. For breakfast, Erev Tisha B'Av, you can have a nice steak, delicious steak for breakfast. But the last meal you eat before the fast begins, the Suda with which you will be mafsik, it will be the Suda that will be your Hafsaka from eating further for the rest of the Tisha B'Av, that particular Suda, you're not allowed to have Basar. Gemara Masechta Tainis says, Rak B'Suda Mafsekes B'Erev Tisha B'Av, it says this in the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Masechta Tainis Daf Chavov Amud Aleph. However, the Rambam, elaborating upon this halacha that's in Masechta Tainis, he writes, that the Minog Yisrael Ishakvar Nohagu Yisrael Shlelechel Basar B'Shavua Shechal B'Erev Tisha B'Av. The Rambam writes that it's the minhag Yisrael not to eat basar shavua shechalba, which means, according to the Rambam, tonight you can eat basar. And tomorrow you can eat. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no problem. When are you now allowed to eat basar? Shavua shechalba, starting Mitzvah Shabbos. Even Mitzvah Shabbos will come a little bit later on. That's not so simple either, because that is Malav Malka. We have to discuss that. Are you allowed to have basar for Malav Malka? Okay, we'll discuss it in a few moments. Now the Rambam says something even more controversial, that Shavua Shechalboi ends when the Tainis ends. Because I'll show you maybe soon, is that other Rishonim have a Chiddush, the Bach, in fact the Bach, the famous Bach. The Bach is the reason why we do not observe Chodosh. We do not observe the laws, most of us do not observe the laws of Chodosh when it comes to grain in Chutz La'aretz, with Soymech on the Bach. The Bach holds in Chutz La'aretz, you don't have to be machmir. And that very same Bach says that when it comes to eating meat, you're not allowed to eat meat the entire week of Tisha B'Av, meaning the days after Tisha B'Av. So that would mean that next week, this is easy, because Tisha B'Av this year is on Thursday, it would mean that on Friday, you're not allowed to eat meat until Shabbos begins, because Friday is Shavua Shechalboi. Let's say, for example, Tisha B'Av would be on Sunday, for real. You would not be allowed to eat meat the rest of the week, even though Tisha B'Av was on Sunday, whatever it is. When we say Shavua Shechalboi, we're brainwashed in believing Shavua Shechalboi means from the beginning of the week until Tisha B'Av, and when Tisha B'Av is over, you're permitted. The restrictions are lifted. That's not what Shavua Shechalboi means, literally. Shavua Shechalboi means the entire week in which Tisha B'Av falls before and after. The reason why we don't follow the Bach, even though the Bach is one of the most prominent poskim in Judaism, is because it's too difficult for us. When the Bach made it easy for us, we pick and choose. When he made it easy for us not to be required to eat, to observe the laws of Chodosh, we took the Bach. But when he made it difficult for us, that we should not be allowed to eat meat when Tisha B'Av is over, until Shabbos Nachamu, no, that's too difficult. That we're going to be simach on the Rambam. And the Rambam says, Rambam Hilchus Taimis Shekvar Nuagu Yisrael Shlo Lechol. It's a minuk. It's a minuk. Shalechol Baz Rishur Shechal Boy Tishabov Ad Sheyavra Taimis. And then he writes, the Rambam writes, V'yesh Mekoymois Shenohagu Levatel. Now he writes over here something which I want to spend a lot of time on, not a lot, but I want to really dwell upon. He writes something which is very interesting. I'm going to read you these words, and if you really take these words very literally, it changes dramatically the minhag not to eat meat during this tekufa. The Rambam now is shifting from eating meat to a maisa shechita. V'yesh mikoymois shenohagu levatel hashchita meroish chodesh av ad hatainis. Now, I'm going to tell you my chiddush before we even start. And what I'm saying is obviously shaloi kehalacha. Okay, so let's not make any mistake. That I'm telling you is unacceptable lahalacha. But do not tell me to ignore what I'm about to tell you, because over and over this idea just keeps on reappearing in many achronim and maybe in even rishonim. And there's definitely something going on over here which I think many of us, including myself, are totally out to lunch, totally missing the point. In the modern world that we live in, when you buy a piece of meat, if you go into Glatmart, you go into Moishas, go into Pomegranate, you go into, I don't know, wherever you want to go, go into ShopRite, and you buy Empire. You buy a piece of meat, chicken or whatever, and you take it home, you put it in the freezer, or you right away cook it, put it in the pot, you do it. When you take a bite into that piece of meat, ask yourself the question, what is the date of death for this animal? Call up the store, I want to see the death certificate for the animal. I'm now putting in my mouth a piece of meat. I know it has the best hechsher in the world. It's glat, beisosef glat. We live in Flatbush. We're very, very religious. We're very religious, and it's very kosher. And they've extracted all the blood with a ton of salt. Too much salt. It's not even healthy for us, all this salt. But can you please tell me, I want to see the death certificate for this animal, this piece of meat that I'm putting in my mouth. And you'll be shocked to learn that it's very likely, Mayevsky will tell us in more and more detail, that the death certificate is probably, or Mayevsky, what would you say, a week ago?
It depends how fresh they put it in, but the meat that was you get out of the store fresh on Wednesday was killed on Sunday, probably.
Sunday? So it's fresh
Monday
on Wednesday?
Monday morning it could be. Depending on where the meat is coming from, okay. Usually from the Midwest, and it takes one day to travel, and they kill it the day before. They got to hang it one day to let it chill for 24 hours, and then it gets on the truck and it's out the door. And you get it Wednesday morning, and it's got a tag on it until when it's kosher.
And then,
of course, by when the 72 hours are up, every piece of meat has a separate tag.
And then, so that what they're putting on display Wednesday morning, you're saying, was slaughtered on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
And you take that home, and you're probably not going to prepare it until a Friday, at least until Friday. Maybe even then, you'll put it in the freezer for next week.
Or whatever.
And then, so the time you sit down to eat the meat, it's likely already 7, 8, 9, 10 days. Possibly even longer.
Yeah, possible.
Shocking, right? Not less than 6 days.
I mean, it depends. You take a look, and you can see by the,
not less than
can't
6 days.
When it's in the package in the store, but generally speaking, Wednesday is when they get Wednesday morning early, like in the middle of the night, they get the little Glatmart or Pomegranate is going to get a delivery 3-4 in the morning. Anytime after 2-3 in the morning, they're getting the delivery from the Midwest or from Baltimore.
So it's not going to be less than, when you take a bite into a piece of meat, it's not less than 5-6 days, since it's been slaughtered.
Unless you're eating it that day on Wednesday, but generally only
even Wednesdays, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, yeah. so four days. Okay, so four or five days. That's likely. Right. This concept that when you take a bite into a piece of meat, it's been slaughtered 5 days ago, is absurd, unheard of in the time of the Rambam, in ancient times.
Right.
They, you would tell them, oh, how old is this meat? Oh, it was slaughtered 5-6 days ago. They would literally vomit the food out.
Because they had to salt the meat unconscionably till to preserve it. Yes.
I remember Rabelsky, Zeches Rak Levracha, he would say that in olden days they had what's called walking refrigerators. That was his term, walking refrigerators. What does it mean, a walking refrigerator? There's no way to preserve meat, unless you're going to make deli. That was very rare. But you know, so how do you keep the meat fresh? How do you keep fresh meat? You let the animal walk around outdoors in the corral. When you want to eat the meat, you say to the animal, come here, sonny boy. And you take out the shechita knife and you slaughter it. And you immediately cook it. You salt it and you cook it. In ancient times, time of the Gemara, in time of the Rambam, time of the Rishonim, when you are biting into a piece of meat, that meat very likely has been slaughtered today, or maybe at most yesterday. Not more than 24, 48, 48 hours already probably is already beyond. When you want to eat meat, you go into the refrigerator. The refrigerator is a walking, living animal. You take out the knife of shechita, you do a shechita, you then cut it up. You flay it, you cut it up, you salt it, and you put it into the oven. 1, 2, 3. There's no way to preserve meat. There were no refrigerators. They didn't have refrigerators. You want to preserve it? Oh, you have to have salt, and you have to bury it in salt. The whole technique, how to preserve for long term. So the shechita was done, boom. Today, we do a shechita 6-7 days in advance. We don't even see the shechita's done out in the Midwest. We don't even know what it looks like. We don't know what a chalaf looks like. You have to sneak in. The CIA has to sneak into the slaughterhouse to see what shechita looks like. Because if someone's going to see what shechita looks like, who knows what they'll do to society. They'll ban shechita, like what happened to these scandals. Animal rights. We don't even know what shechita looks like. We're living in a world today that is so far removed from what existed in ancient times that it's not even believable. The Rambam, now I want to tell you a chiddush, and this what I'm telling you, it's totally nonsense what I'm saying, but it's not nonsense. The Rambam, let's read the words of the Rambam very literally. The Rambam says that during the 9 days you're not allowed. There's a minhag. It's a mishnah. It's not a minhag. It's a halacha. There's a halacha. Halacha is not a minhag. There's no room to maneuver when it comes to halacha. You're not allowed to eat meat erev Tisha B'Av. When? Breakfast you can have. Lunch you can have. If you want to have an afternoon meal, guess what you could also have? Let's say I want to have a meat meal. I want to have a 6 o'clock. The fast begins, make believe, at 8 o'clock. So at 7 o'clock, I want to have a steak. Go right ahead. Is this the last meal you're going to have before the fast begins? No. After I have my steak, I'm going to say burn the fashais. We're then going to wash, have an egg dipped in ash with some bread. And that's going to be my suda hamafsekes. The meal that I eat, that's going to be the last meal. With that meal, I'm going to be mafsi. I'm going to stop. I'm going to go into the fast. The only time you're not allowed to eat meat, according to the halacha, is the last meal you eat before the fast begins. That's the halacha. Rambam. Okay? That's what it says in the Gemara. Then the Rambam says, even though that's the Iker Hadin, there's a minug Yisrael Kedoshim. There's a minag Yisrael. What's the minug? The Rambam, Shekvar Nohago. From time immemorial, the Rambam is saying this pre-exists my existence. This halacha pre-dates me. Shekvar Nohago Yisrael Shlo Lechol Basar. Not to eat. Don't put basar into your mouth. When? B'Shavua Shechal Boy Tisha B'Av. Starting Mitzvah Shabbos. The week that Tisha B'Av falls out, let's assume it means Mitzvah Shabbos, we'll discuss that in a moment. When? Ad Sheyavar Yom HaTainis, until Tisha B'Av is over. The Shavua Shechal Boy, every year, it's going to be different. You get lucky if it's on a Monday, there's only one day if it can fall out. I don't know the whole calendar. Mr. Weiss, he's a mumchen, when all these things can fall out. But whenever it can fall out, Shavua Shechal Boi. All right. Until it's over. Every year will be different. Now, that's the minhag. V'yesh mekoymos, there are, now the Rambam begins to talk about another minhag. Anaya minhag. Shenogu levatel hashchita. This has nothing to do with eating. Shelevatel hashchita, meroish chodesh av aratainis. No slaughtering. No slaughtering. Eating, yes. So that means, if you take the words of the Rambam very literally, if you slaughter meat today, in America you can do this, right? Slaughter meat today, and you preserve it, I can eat the meat tomorrow on Rosh Chodesh. I can eat it today with this year. We have a whole week. So if Rosh Chodesh is Wednesday, I can eat on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, as long as you don't do the Maisa, the act of Shechita. The third minhag, the third element, is not a halach of eating. It's a minhag of not to do an act of slaughter. The Rambam says, Me'ikar hadin, the only time you're not allowed to eat meat is suda hamafsekis. There is a minog Yisrael not to eat meat. Do not put a piece of meat into your mouth. Only ach v'rak l'chol hadeis shavua shechal boy. Now there's another minog that has nothing to do with eating. Is a minog of shechita. You don't pick up a knife from Rosh Chodesh Av until the fast is over. That has nothing to do with eating. And that means that if you got so lucky to do a Maisa Shechita today, today meaning 5 minutes before Shkia, for Tzeis HaKoychavim, and you want to have tonight on Rosh Chodesh Av steak, you want to have the most delicious meat, go right ahead. You want to have steak tomorrow, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, go right ahead. Who told you you can't eat meat? The additional minhag is just do not do an act of shechita. Why not? So as I went through this sefer, the Avnei Shoyam, and I came across many things, one of the reasons given is there's a halacha, let's extrapolate. There's a halacha that when you bench, you're not allowed to have on the table a knife. That's a halacha. Everyone knows that halacha. When you recite Birchas HaMazon, don't have on the table the knife you cut the challah with. You know why? Because when you come to Rachim Hashem Elokeinu al Yisrael Amecha v'al Yerushalayim Yirecha v'al Tzion Mishkan Kivodecha v'al Malchus Beisavet Mishichecha v'al Abayis Agil v'al Kodesh. You say those words, you're going to go meshuga. You're going to lose your mind. And you're going to call your psychologist. He's not going to answer you. He's busy. You're going to get a service. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to take the knife on the table and you're going to commit suicide. That's how dangerous it was. The tsar, the Agmas Nefesh of the Churban Yerushalayim by the people of previous generations was so intense, so deep, people were suspected to commit suicide. Literally kill themselves over the Agmas Nefesh of the Churban Yerushalayim. Don't make it easy for yourself to commit suicide. Don't make it easy for yourself. Don't have on the table the knife. Don't get rid of the knife off the table the whole year. Never are you allowed to bench when there's a knife on the table because of the Agmas Nefesh that may come when you come to Uvnei Yerushalayim. You may take up that knife and kill yourself. Crazy stuff, right? I mean, we laugh at this, but this is serious stuff. This is a Hashulchan Aruch. By extension, in Chodesh Av, as we come close to the 9 days, the anxiety of getting close to Tisha B'Av and thinking about Tisha B'Av, if you're a Shoychet, you're in the slaughterhouse. In ancient times, everyone was a Shoychet. Today, it's a specialty. It's done behind closed doors, right? The CIA can even break in to see what's going on there. But in the Chaim Chazal, everyone did a Maisa Shechita. You know, you go, everyone, who doesn't know how to do Shechita? Everyone knows, you have a knife, you check the knife, You do a shechita, what's the big deal? Everyone did a ma'aseh shechita. Everyone, you want fresh meat, you go to the backyard, you take an animal, you do a ma'aseh shechita, you do a shechita, you have a shayla, you go to the rav, they ask a shayla, is it kosher, not kosher? You did a shechita, you're going to pick up a knife that can bring death, a sharp knife that's capable of taking the life of an animal or a bird in the 9 days? What's going to prevent you from taking that knife and killing yourself? Memela, the minig was not to do an act of shechita. Nothing to do with eating. The only
mention is Rabbi Matznian Hazaken.
Right.
You hide it.
You hide the knife. It's Sakonis Nefashis. The Rambam, Yesh Mekomos Shenogu.
All the shlachtos are closed in the 9 days.
During the 9 days, because of this, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So the Rambam says, V'yesh mekoyim ha-shenoagu levatel. He doesn't say matzin. The Rambam says, levatel ha-shechita. Me'rosh chodesh av ad ha-tainis. So if you were to take the words of the Rambam very literally, there are three different inyanim. Inyan number one is, the suda ha-mafsekes, meat may not come into your mouth. Meat. Then there's a minuk shekvar nohagu, not to put meat in your mouth, shavua shechalboi. And the Rambam is mechadeh, shavua shechalboi means the beginning of the week until the tainus, when the tainus ends, not after. Not like the Bach, who's an acharon, much came much later, who learns like Rishonim, that says, no, it means the whole week, no, the only until the fast is over. And then the Rambam goes on to say that it's a naya minuk. There's a minuk that you don't do an act of shechita from the beginning of Chodesh Av, which, if you take the words literally, has nothing to do with eating meat. You're allowed to eat meat on Rosh Chodesh Av and all of the days of Chodesh Av until Shavua Shechalba, provided that the act of shechita took place before Rosh Chodesh Av. It's just that the act of shechita, but the eating is permitted. What's the lumnus? Why are you not allowed to do a ma'aseh shechita? I give you one answer. One answer is because you may pick up that knife and you may kill yourself. I'll give you another answer, another very simple answer, and it reminds me of a story when I was a little child, and it always lingers. It really, this story damaged me very much. I gotta tell you, I need a psychologist to break this out of me. Is on Purim, I remember a bunch of kids who it was their most fervent, desperate desire to have a cap gun on Purim. Okay, today you don't see it so much. Today the Rabbanim pretty much, they succeeded in not only the Rabbanim, even the government, they don't even want to sell cap guns anymore because they look so real. But you don't remember those days, they had cap guns that looked mamash like real weapons. They real like replicas of real, real weapons. And you know, when they bang, they clap Haman, you shoot the cap gun, right? Remember those days? There was a Holocaust survivor who knew what it meant, who knows what a gun is really used for, who knows what it means to be killed by a firing squad, and knows and saw people that were just shot by the Nazis for no reason whatsoever. And I watched him give mussar to children, telling them, are you crazy? What are you crazy? This is what you want to do on Purim, have a gun and a shoot with a gun on Purim? You know what a gun is? You know what it was to live during the Holocaust and to see a Nazi with a gun? The way he reacted and gave mussar to these children made a very powerful roshim on me. How could you hold in your hand something like this? It's like detestable in the eyes of a Holocaust survivor, this object. By extension, on Tisha B'Av, during the 9 days, forget about killing yourself. Let's say you're not going to. Today, I don't think people are going to. Today, we're not on a madrega today. You've never, ever heard. Don't tell me you've ever heard in recent times someone picked up a knife during Birchas HaMazon and killed themselves. I've never heard this. Chazal say, don't have on the table a knife. You might pick it up and kill yourself. Okay, I appreciate what it means. But today, we've never heard a story in the news on primetime news, such a story, breaking news. Orthodox Jew kills himself while reciting grace after meal because of his depression of the loss of the temple that happened 2,000 years ago. We've never heard such a thing in recent times. But yet, picking up a knife, a kli mashris, that is used to take the life of a creature, is not something you do during the 9 days. It's not about killing yourself. It's a time of horror when we reflect upon death. You don't pick up an object that can take a life. And you don't need to be a big Baal Madrega to appreciate that. And therefore, during the 9 days, there's no Shechita. If it happens to be a consequence that there's no meat because there's no Shechita, so be it. Now, this is the difference between ancient times and today. In ancient times, if you're not going to allow a Shechit to Shech during the 9 days, that automatically means, so guess what? There's nothing to eat. There's no meat on Tishrei. There's no meat on the 9 days. Today it's not like that. Because today, anyway, when you put a piece of meat into your mouth, you know when this was slaughtered? A week ago. So it's the Rambam, you take the words of the Rambam literally. And I really believe after studying this, that's really what the Rambam means. And the reason why most people, what I'm telling you is totally bizarre to them. They're different. The average person will say as follows. There's a minog halacha. Suda hamafsekes. There's no meat. Then there's another minog by the Sfardim. Oh, the Sfardim shvua shechalboi. And then there's, the litter, the Ashkenazim. They don't eat meat for 9 days, the whole 9 days. Another madrega. Is that really true? Who made that up? Who made that up? Not to eat meat during 9 days? Is this something which was misunderstood? There's another minute the Rambam says, don't do a ma'aseh shechita, because you don't pick up a kli mashkes during the 9 days. It happens to be that in ancient times, if you're not going to do a shechita during the 9 days, you're not going to have what? You're not going to have meat. Because there was no such thing as refrigerators. You had walking refrigerators. So the practical application, the practical nafkamina was that if you're not going to do a ma'aseh shechita, there's no meat during the 9 days. But guess what? Today, it doesn't have to be like that. Because anyway, today, when you put meat in your mouth, it's not from today, it's from a long time ago. So the natural result is that Bizman HaZed, there's really no prohibition to eat meat the whole week. You won't have tonight meat for dinner tonight, why not? The minhag, the Rambam says that it's a chumrah, it's a minhag, shavua shechalba. The Rambam doesn't say this, or there's a minhag not to eat meat the whole 9 days. Who said that? Who said that? There's a minhag not to do shechita during the 9 days. So do the shechita a week ago. Oh, a week ago, the meat will rot, it'll stink, it's poison. Well, not today, because today we have refrigeration. Today the meat remains fresh. Anyway, the default today is to eat meat that's a week old, by default. That would be the result. And that's really what the Rambam says. That's really what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Because Shulchan Aruch, he says, came out the word of the Rambam. He changed the word of the Rambam just a little bit. But it's like he said, the Rabbi Neumann said, Matznien. In Shulchan Aruch, he changed the words. The Shulchan Aruch, I think the Shulchan Aruch, okay, well, I'll come to the Shulchan Aruch one moment. It's not the Shulchan, it's the Ramah. Okay, but we'll come to the Shulchan Aruch one moment. Okay, so this is the point I want to make, is that I firmly believe is that the minog became corrupted. We do not eat meat. But that's not really what the minog was. The minog was not to do shechita. And menel, if there's no shechita, there's nothing to eat. But that's not true today. That's what the Rambam says. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Now, The truth is, it's not so simple what I just told you, because there's another minhag. And this minhag appears in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, in Masechet Pesachim, that this is a minhag only for women, not for us here. This is a man's share. Except for the women that are listening. Tamari, are you listening? Except for the women that are listening there behind, lurking there in the background. But it says in the Yerushalmi that the women are more machmir than the men. The Yerushalmi says, the Rav Haigoin, he writes, he quotes from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, in Masechta Pesachim, Shehanoshim, women, Shenohagu, okay, I don't have the exact words. He has it over here exactly word for word. Not to eat basar and not to drink wine from Rosh Chodesh Av until, I have to really find the Yerushalmi. There's a very big problem with the Yerushalmi, because there's a Shiloh, what is the correct girsa in the Yerushalmi. It seems that the debate is, if the Yerushalmi says there is a minhag by women not to eat meat and wine starting Rosh Chodesh. Now, another version of the Yerushalmi does not include meat, only says women do not drink wine starting Rosh Chodesh. So the Yerushalmi is not discussing Shechita at all. It's discussing eating and drinking. And again, the question is, let me actually quote you the words of the Yerushalmi. I know I have it over here somewhere. Okay, it's somewhere over here. It would be very important for me to tell you the words. Take me too long to find the exact words. Maybe as we go through this, I'll just appear in front of me. The exact words. Oh, here it is. I think I got it. Here it is. No, here it is. I got it for you. Here it is. Okay. Hevi girsas hayushalmi honei noshe didon deloy shosu chamro. And he writes over here in this girsa, Miyud Zayin Betamuz at Tisha B'Av. Now, this is something even a little different. We really got to go to the source. We got to go to the source and see the different girsas. Omar Shmuel, Hane Noshe. Dinehige.
Where in the Yerushalmi? Where
himself? Tainis. Here's where I'm quoting from. It's Perikhei, Mesechta Tainis, Perikhei, Halacha Vav Oistalit. Mesechta Tainis, Perikhei, Halacha Vav Oistalit. Omar Shmuel, Hone Noshe, Dinehige, Deloy Lemishte Chamra, Min De'ov alil because of minhog. The gears I just quoted for you in the Yerushalmi only mentions not to drink wine from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Av. There's another girsa which says deloy lemishte chamra ulemechal bisra, not to drink wine and not to eat meat. So we have over here two girsois in the Yerushalmi. Which one is accurate? If it is correct that there is an accurate version of the Yerushalmi that says that women had a custom not to eat meat starting with Rosh Chodesh Av, we now have a bona fide, authentic makar for our minhag of not eating meat, minhag Ashkenaz, not to eat meat starting with Rosh Chodesh Av. Not the Rambam. The Rambam is not working with the Rambam does not mention the Yerushalmi. The Rambam, paskins like the Bavli, only mentions the Mishnah that says do not eat meet the Suda Hamafsekes, and there is a minhag of Shvur Shechalboy, and there's a Naya minhag of doing a Maisa Shechita, starting with Rosh Chodesh. The Rishalmi cites the minhag of Noshim, not men, of not, one thing is for sure, not to drink wine. But meat? This seems to be a dilemma if that is a correct version of the Yerushalmi. If it is, then we can understand how over time we, the men, have adopted the minhag of the Noshim. We've become girly men. We've adopted their custom to also not eat meat from the beginning of Chodesh Av. That would be very interesting. But it appears from what I'm reading is that there's a very strong challenge as that being a correct girsa. The correct girsa seems to be, according to most of the things that I've seen, that the minhag was for them not to drink wine. And the reason why that is so is because wine is anyway something that's not beneficial for women. Derech klal, Chazal, ancient times, it seems that wine was viewed as something that is not healthy for women. Men, obviously not so, but women much more so. So since anyway it's not to their benefit, they will machmir, don't drink wine from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Av. Now what about us? We also don't drink wine. Wine is something which, you know, you have to differentiate between wine and basar. Now before we go further, we have to explain something very, very important. What's the pshat in the halacha? Let's go back to clarify the actual halacha itself. The actual halacha is not to eat meat for the Suda Hamafsekes. Why not? Why the very last meal before Tisha B'Av begins do we not eat meat? So the answer, there are two answers. One answer is meat is simcha. Ein simcha ella bebasa. The samachta b'chagecha zalern, ein simcha ella bebasa. Erev Tisha B'Av is not a time to engage in simcha, so we do not eat meat. There's another reason. It's in order to show that we have pain over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, where we were makriv korbanos. When you makriv a korban, we put on the mizbeach the basar to burn on the mizbeach, and the basar, the remaining basar, depending on the korban, is either given to the kohanim or given to the ba'olim. And when the kohanim and the ba'olim eat, we apply the principle of ha'kohanim oichlim v'ha'ba'olim mischaprim v'ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem. Eating of the meat by the Kohanim or by the Baalim brings atonement. This, by the way, is something that is totally unique to Klal Yisrael. By the Goyim, by the Oiv the Avodah Zor, there's no such thing as anyone eating the meat of a sacrifice. When idolaters would offer sacrifices to the gods, it's a given that the meat is completely burnt. It's a sacrifice to the god. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the Torah and gave them the mitzvah of Korbanos, he shook them up to the core by telling them, you eat it, not me, you eat it. Just put on the mizbeach, you know, a token, put some fat, some chalef. But the boss, you eat it. This was shocking beyond belief. Because there's no such thing. You study ancient religions. Study the ancients and study their technique of offering sacrifice to the gods. Unheard of to offer a sacrifice and the priest or the owner, that's even a bigger shock, should be able to eat from the meat of a sacrifice. This is blasphemy. This is sugar. And yet is exactly what Hashem said. Of course, there's a carbon oiler. Let's not get carried away here, because there is a carbon oiler, which indeed we do burn all of the meat. But the hide, the leather hide, goes to the Kohanim. There is some remnant, which is not actually burned on the Mizbech, which is given as a gift to the Kohanim. But all Kodshei Kodoshim, I mean, besides carbon oiler, Chatos, Shlomim, Osham, these are eaten. They're eaten. Now, therefore, every time you eat a piece of meat, what are you really doing? The last time, Mark, you ate a piece of meat, what did you really do, Mark? I know you, Mark. In the back of your mind, you were thinking, this really should have been a korban. And when I'm eating, a carbon shlama. I should have been in Yerushalayim, and the meat would have been sacred. And by me eating, I would be overcome with a spiritual bliss that's indescribable, and it brings atonement to the whole world. Right? Isn't that what you were thinking? Meir told me that's what he thinks about when he eats meat all the time. So certainly you. So that's what basar is. So when you eat a piece of meat, you're thinking about kachim. Look, oy chaval. In order to show your respect that we no longer can eat meat, we no longer have kachim, karbonos, that can achieve this spiritual bliss of the makrav karbonos, we don't eat meat. As a way to acknowledge the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and our ability to bring karbonos and to eat from its meat, to achieve atonement, has been lost from us. So there are two primary reasons why we don't eat meat. Simcha and acknowledgement that we can no longer bring karbonos. Lemai nafkamina, poultry.
Because also between Chorban Rishon and Chorban Sheni.
Okay.
The karbonos after Chorban Rishon, they
right.
didn't.
What? After the Chorban, what did you say?
Chorban Rishon, when they built up a second base on Migdash, they were karbonos?
When they built the second base on Migdash, but for 70 years, there was nothing. There's no bamos. There were no karbonos. Once the bayis was destroyed, there were no karbonos until they rebuilt the bayis sheni. I mean,
but when they built the bayis sheni,
all right. So they put up curtains. They put up a temporary structure, and they outlined the basic area. So that's all part of the bayis sheni. They maybe didn't have the walls, you know, with all the bells and whistles in place. But that's already called the bayis sheni.
Well, you had to eat it.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. But between the bayis rishon and the bayis sheni, there were no karbonos, and now for the last 2,000 years, there are no karbonos. So therefore, as respect,
yeah, that was no problem.
Now, lemai nafkamina, the nafkamina is poultry. Do we eat chicken? Do we eat poultry during the 9 days? No, we don't. That's the fact. Don't tell me. No one. I don't see anyone having chicken. Why not? Why not? You can't bring a chicken as a karbon. The only thing you can bring as a karbon is a b'nei yoin, a tar and a b'nei yoin, turtle doves, and b'nei yoin and tar, whatever they are. I don't even know what they are. Whatever they are, b'nei yoin and tar. Guess what? We don't have them today. The b'nei yoin, the tar, the b'nei yoin, we don't. They're not marked. They're not profitable. I don't even know if we know what they are exactly. Probably we do, but it's not available in Glatmart. In Glatmart, what they're giving you is some genetically altered item that somehow came from a chicken. It's not, there's no pure bird. That's a very big problem. What they're serving, what we're eating now, has been genetic. Okay, that's another topic. But the poultry that we eat today is not fit to be offered on the Mizbeach. If that is the case. So we should be, if you take the second reason to its natural conclusion, the reason why we do not eat meat is because we want to express a sentiment that the bayis was choraf and we could no longer bring korbanos. It would only apply to a type of meat that is fit for the mizbeach. And this type of meat is not fit for the mizbeach. Deer. You should be able to go have all these exotic types of meat because these exotic types of meat are not fit for the Mizbeach. So why then do we find today people are not eating poultry, they're not eating exotic types of meats? What about even, the answer is because we also apply the first reason. It's a synthesis of two reasons. And that is simcha. Meat provides simcha. And it's not the proper time to have simcha. Now the problem is, if that's the reason, what about fish? Because in the world of halacha, fish could count as meat in regarding simcha. And the proof to this principle is a bris milah. Today, 99% of the time, when you go to a bris milah, they serve fish. How could you do that? It's a sudas mitzvah. At a sudas mitzvah, you're supposed to have basar. So why don't we serve basar at a bris milah? So many answers. Number one is don't break the bank. Okay, many people just can't afford it. Okay, it's hard enough to have a baby to pay to pay the doctor bills and everything that goes involved. So it's just an expense that's overwhelming for many people. And number two is, you'll say it's not healthy. We live in a society where eating meat in the morning is not viewed to be something which is healthy. Okay, times have changed, but is that really an excuse? Chazal tell us to have a sudas mitzvah, and a sudas mitzvah means basar. And the ultimate heter is that b'diavad dogim has the status of basar le'inyan simcha. This is what it says in the big box, in the Poskim. That dogim meluchim in halacha can be considered equivalent to basar in regard to the element of simcha. If that is correct, then it should be forbidden to eat fish. The same way that we do not eat for the sudam afsekas, you're not allowed, I mean, the same way we don't eat basar during the 9 days, or during Shavuot Shechalboy, by extent, if the time is because of simcha, so by extension, Shavuot Shechalboy, we should not be allowed to eat fish. That's not true. Everybody, who doesn't eat fish? People eat fish. Never heard of such a prohibition. So obviously, we're picking and choosing. We're creating a balance. We have to appreciate there are two major reasons why we don't eat the minug. The Rambam says Shavuot Shechalboy, not to eat basar. Number one, simcha. Number two, a zecher l'chorban, the bitul hakorbanos. If we take the time of bitul hakorbanos to its natural conclusion, it would be permitted to eat poultry and exotic types of chayos that are not fit to be offered on the mizbech as a korbanos. So obviously, the fact that we find that the minhag Yisrael is not to eat these things, it must be because we hold also of the time of simcha. But if we hold the time of simcha, then the natural conclusion would prevent us from eating fish during Shavuot Shechalboy. What would we eat? Cheerios and milk. Figure out what to eat. But you're not going to be able to eat poultry, fish, and meat. So why then is the minhag to eat fish? I guess that far we would not accept. We have a combination of different tamim, but it was a gzera she'ein roivat tziba yecholim la'amayboy to go so far not to eat dogim, even though we're makel that we consider dogim to be basar for a bris mila, we're not so machmir and we allow us to eat dogim during Shavuot Shechalboy. Okay, that's the time of basar. But now we come to the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says that noshim do not drink wine. Wine is not the same thing as basar. Wine is much more chomor. Wine is mentioned. Why don't we drink wine? The yayin yisamach levav enosh. Wine also, it's the same exact thing. Wine brings simcha, and yayin is something that we pour on the mizbeach. I'm forgetting now. But one thing is to clarify, the prohibition to drink wine during the 9 days or the minhag is much, much more chomor than basar. There are many leniencies to eat basar. Many. The slightest need to eat basar permits a person to eat basar. Person, he needs, is weak, children, or a woman who's pregnant or nursing, or a person who's not feeling well and he needs a little more chizuk and he finds that basar gives him that boost, it's permitted. Why not? Wine, you need to go to a much bigger rabbi to get a heter to drink. If you feel you really need a glass of wine during the 9 days, you're not allowed to. It's a much, much more serious prohibition. The Yerushalmi says Noshe Didon have a custom not to drink Yayin. Question is the Girsa. Does the Girsa, remember, yes, did you look at the Yerushalmi? Did you see the Yerushalmi, what it says?
Yeah, but
what does it say?
First of all, there is no Perikei in Titus. So there's no such thing.
Maybe it's Psochim. Maybe it says here Perikei. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I quote you the Hagoyis Maimoni. Look there. Behagoyis my amam. Behagoyis my mani. Perikes the Rambam. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I quoted the Rambam.
Yes, I look at the Yerushalmi, discusses it. But
the Yerushalmi is in Psoch. The Yerushalmi is not in Tainus. The Yerushalmi is in Psochim.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. The Yerushalmi, let's get the Yerushalmi. We have to find the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is in... Give me one moment. The conversation of the Girsa is in Hagoyis Maimini. That's the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchas Tainis Perikei Halacha Vav Ayitz Dalet. The Yerushalmi, the source of this controversy. A moment. If you have the Rambam, we'll tell you exactly where it is.
Well, of course I have the Rambam. I have four, believe me. So that's why I went to look it up.
So look there in the Rambam. I can't go look it now over here, but the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchas Tainis, Perikei Hilchas Tainis, Halacha Vav, Oystal. Then look there.
Okay. Yeah.
Look there in the Hagoyis Maimini. And he's going to quote the Yerushalmi. And he's going to talk about the Girsa.
Okay. Got it.
Okay, it's somewhere over here on the page over here. I can't find it now. I don't know where it is. Okay, so this is the whole issue. These are the... Now, let's look at Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, what does it say? Now, let's go through the tour. Now, let's go. The tour is the next step. First, you have the Rambam. And now we go to the tour. And the tour writes... Minog Ashkenaz. I'm reading you from the Torah. Minog Ashkenaz. Shehayichidim. Individuals. Nimnoim me'achilas basar. Eating basar. Umishtias yayin. Hochel. Get a load of this. Mishiva osa betamuz v'hola. So the Torah. Okay, the next step in the Shalsheles Halacha. He goes way over the top, and he says, doesn't talk about shechita, he talks about eating. And he says, not only do you not eat sudah b'afsekes, you don't eat shiv'osa b'tamos. Way back 3 weeks, but this is only for select individuals. Nimnoe me'achilas basar and also drinking wine. Hochel mishiv osa betamuz v'hola. Ach, me'rosh chodesh av v'hola. Hakoil nimnoim mibasar v'yayin zulas b'shabas. So here is the makar for our minhag. Now, this is a modern makar. I mean, the tour is almost a rishon. Not exactly, but the tour... But the tour is going. It's much later though. The Yerushalmi is talking about Noshim. The Rambam, who is the Rishon, right? The Rambam is the 12th century. The Rambam doesn't say anything about eating. He talks about the Shechita. The tour is how many? Another 200 years later. He is the one who talks about Yechidim not eating Basar from Shavas and Batamos. And then says, Hakoil Nimnim, everyone, including us, he's the Makar for our Minok. But it's a more modern Makar from Mibosav and Zulos B'Shabbos. The Beis Yosef, okay, now let's go to the next generation. The next generation. The Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, the commentary on the Torah, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He brings down. He cites the Rashba that says he puts the nail in the coffin. That's right. Don't you dare eat meat starting with Rosh Chodesh Av. And if you do eat meat, Yishachenu Nochash is a curse. Serious business. And then the Machad Beis Yosef, who strengthens the Torah by telling us, indeed, this is the Minhag. He puts it in Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, that's what he writes. Don't eat meat, starting with Rosh Chodesh Av. And now comes the finale. The Ramah writes as a Haggah on the Shulchan Aruch, Umatzniyim Meroish Chodesh Ve'elech Hasakin Shel Shechita. She'ein Shechatim Kiyim L'Tzarech Mitzvah, K'gor L'Choyle, O Shabbos, O Milo, O Pidyon, Aben Nuchu Yitzei Boi. The Ramah goes full cycle. And he says, don't forget the Rambam. Because if you're going to take what it says in the Rashba and the Tor, and you're going to forget about the Rambam, you know what the result will be? That the slaughterhouses will be open the entire 9 days. If you're going to take what the Tor says, the Tor is saying a new minhag. He doesn't bring a makor for this. He doesn't have a source for this. He's saying something which just has evolved by itself. Where did it come from? It's not so clear. You want to say it comes from the Yerushalmi, from the Noshim? That's questionable, because there's a question as to the girsa of the Yerushalmi, if Noshim really did not eat meat from Rosh Chodesh Av. But the Torah is acknowledging that there is a custom, and this goes back, I don't know, the Torah lived in the 13th century, 14th century, I don't know, around then. The Torah writes is already an established custom not to eat meat starting Rosh Chodesh Av. No eating.
The Torah is the son of the Rosh, so...
Right,
so
when is that?
So that's already in the 1300s, not later.
Okay, it's 14th century, 14th century. 1200s. 1200s or 1300s, okay, whatever. But this, 12, we're going now...
no later.
We're going to the later Rishonim. Okay, these are the late Rishonim. This is not the Rambam. The Rambam was from the earlier Rishonim. The later Rishonim. A Naya Minog, not to eat. Now, here's the problem. If you are only going to take this new Minhag that is cited by the Torah that you're not allowed to eat meat during the 9 days, there is no harm in slaughtering. So therefore, in the modern day, in 2020, where anyway we do not eat meat until, it takes 7 days until the meat comes into our mouth, so the slaughterhouses would be allowed to operate during the 9 days, because the meat that they are preparing is not going to be consumed by the customer until after Tisha B'Av. Along comes the Ramah, and the Ramah says, hey, let's not forget about the Rambam. The Rambam made no mention that it's forbidden to eat meat during the 9 days. The Rambam says there's a minig not to eat meat only Shavua Shechalboy. The Rambam says there is a minig not to engage in an act of Shechita, which has nothing to do with eating. You can eat all the meat you want during the days of the 9 days until Shavuot Shechalboy, as long as you did not do an act of Shechita during the 9 days. Along came the Torah and told us about a Naya Minog, a new Minog in Klal Yisrael. Don't eat meat during the 9 days from Rosh Chodesh Av. But the Ramah says, but don't be misled, don't forget about the Rambam, who says that you're not allowed to do a Shechita. So today, where do we stand after everything is said and done? We have today all of the chumras. Today, during the 9 days, the slaughterhouses are locked. They're shut down. Why? Because you can't pick up a knife during the 9 days. You don't pick up an object which a kli mashris during a time when Klal Yisrael was slaughtered. Has nothing to do with eating meat. There's a new minhag. Comes from the Torah. Where did the Torah get it from? Good question. Does it come from the Noshin? It's the Noshe Didon of the Yerushalmi that did not drink wine from Rosh Chodesh Av? Does it say there the gear so they did not eat meat? Maybe it did. And if that's the gear, so then we could assume that the men in the time of the Torah already have adapted, have accepted upon themselves the custom of the Nashim also not to eat meat. That's a Nayim Minog. That's eating. The Ramah says, so what's the bottom line? You got to do everything today. You're not allowed to do an act of Shechita, even though the Shechita you're going to do is going to be in preparation for food you're going to eat after Tisha B'Av. And you're not allowed to eat meat that was slaughtered before Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to eat meat that was slaughtered before. So the combination is, we don't do an act of Shechita, and we don't eat for the entire 9 days. The Ramah mentions that there are Yechidim, who are these mysterious people I do not know, who do not eat meat starting with Shiva Asa B'Tamos. That's something which I'm not aware of. I don't know people who do that, but that is another Madrega. Okay, that in a nutshell, I think a lot of Yesodis here before we recap, I want to go through a few more interesting Yesodis. Let's talk about something very now. There is an exception. What is the exception? Shabbos. Shabbos does not avail us. On Shabbos, Chazoin, you're allowed to have Kesudas Shloim B'Shaitoi, you can have meat. So here is a Lomdish Shaila. This is a fascinating topic of discussion which is not done. The meat that you eat on Shabbos, can I eat it during the week? The leftover meat. In other words, once Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos, this coming Shabbos, Shabbos Chazoin, you have meat, you have leftovers. Am I allowed to eat the leftovers next week? This that Chazal told us that you're not allowed to eat meat during the 9 days, Shavua Shechalboi, which the Rambam says, is that only on fresh meat, new meat prepared for Shavua Shechalboi? But once you have leftovers from Shabbos, the Shabbos leftovers, you can eat the whole week. Why not? There's no chalois iser on this meat. In other words, shayla is a long shayla. Is eating the meat an issa cheftza or an issa gavra? It's a real shayla, l'halacha. If you learn that the prohibition of meat is on the cheftza, on the piece of meat, the piece of meat that's been designated for Shabbos is mutter, is a chalois heter. So once Shabbos is over, you can continue eating that leftover meat Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But if you learn that the prohibition is on you are not allowed to ingest, to put the meat in your mouth, it doesn't make a difference that this piece of meat was permitted on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you were allowed to eat. Now you are not allowed to eat. This question sounds funny to us because we have the custom that we do not eat, but it's not so simple. It seems a lot of Gedolim, they held that it was mutter. And they bring a very powerful raya from a Gemara Masech Tehulin, which says something very, very bizarre to us. And that is, the mitzvah of Shechita, according to, I'm not clear with all the details, but certainly according to some opinions in the Gemara, first became active when we came into Eretz Yisrael. Which means that in the desert, you did not need to do Shechita. You can take the life of an animal with a stun gun, or you can slit its throat vertically. Nechira. So what's the chilek between Shechita and Nechira? Shechita is when you take the life of the animal with a knife horizontally. Nechira is when you slice the neck vertically, or by extension, you take the life of the animal any way you want. In the desert, there was no requirement to have a kosher Shechita according to some opinions. The requirement to do an act of Shechita first was triggered when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara there presents a dilemma. What happens on the day before they go into Eretz Yisrael? They kill animals without a kosher shechita. It's certified treif. All the best hashgach organizations have certified it absolutely treif. And they preserve it. And they cross over into the into Eretz Yisrael, and now they want to eat the trefah meat. Are they allowed to? The halacha is that if you want to eat, slaughter new animals, now you need to do shechita. But maybe since there was a chalois on this cheftza, on this piece of meat as it being permitted, because in the desert you did not need to do shechita, and you took it with you into Eretz Yisrael, you can eat it. You can eat it, even though this piece of meat did not have a kosher shechita. So what? And the Gemara there seems to hold, the Gemara has a teku, the Gemara leaves it unanswered. Unanswered. Which means that there is a tzad to say that once you have upon a piece of meat a situation where it was permitted, that permissibility never goes away. Even though the circumstances changed, you're grandfathered in. Just like the Gemara presents that halachically, it's not so far-fetched to say that when it comes to a minhag, this that we do not eat meat during the 9 days is only a minhag. The only halacha not to eat meat is only suda hamafsekes. But not eating meat is only a minhag. You don't have to be so machmir when it comes to a minhag. And since the Gemara does present this question of what took place in the desert, it leaves it as a teku. A teku, by the way, see, teku, people make a mistake. Everyone, we're brainwashed today. Take, oh, you know what teku means? Tishbi yitareitz kushyos v'abayos. Mashiach will come and will answer all the questions. That's a very nice drush that someone invented in a much later period of time. The real meaning of teku is just the opposite. It literally means let the question stand. Let the question not be answered. It should never be answered, this question. This question, the dilemma, shall remain a dilemma le'olam vo'ed, and Mashiach should not dare tamper with this. It's so bizarre. The drush that really has no makar, oh, Mashiach's going to come answer all the kashas. That's a very childish way to look at this world. Mashiach's the solution to all your problems. The real meaning of the word teku in the Gemara means, wow, we have here a dilemma. There are two ways of looking at the issue. Teku. You know what teku means? You're both right. There is emes in both tzadim. There is truth, absolute truth, in both ways of looking at the question. How could it be, but it's a contradiction? No, so it's a contradiction. And what is why it's so relevant? Because since there's absolute truth in both ways of looking at this issue, it has relevance in other issues in life. Where there we're able to extract one of these two sides of the dilemma. The Gemara there says, teku, which means there's a real legitimacy in this lomdus that if in the desert the piece of meat was mutter, so it remains mutter when you come into Eretz Yisrael. If you can see such a svar in halacha, so when it comes to the minhag, Shabbos, I have on my table kol cuts, I have cholent, I have steak, you have exotic meats, I can't eat this all. Everything is permitted. So now when it comes Sunday, let's eat the leftovers. And Monday, and in fact, some of the poskim go so far to say this is so shocking to us because we don't follow these halachas, but some poskim say that you should bedafka look to do this. In order to be able to eat meat up until the very last minute, this is so machmir. You don't have enough problems in life. You're not worried, you don't have enough rough time with corona. You're looking to make for yourself more chumras. Who told you to be so machmir? You have to be so machmir avelus yishana. Who told you? You want to eat meat Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning next week? Gesunte, hey, simple. Go out to the store Erev Shabbos this week and buy food for Shabbos. A big spread that you know no one's going to eat anyway. And invite some guests. They're not going to come. They show up. And you put it out on the table. Kol dichvin yesei v'yechol. And guess what? Got a lot of leftovers. Ah, a lot of leftovers. this is for Sunday, for Monday, for Tuesday, for Wednesday. What I do every week. That's how I plan my week. I do, that's what I do. I make for Shabbos, and everything for Shabbos is really for the whole week. It's all the leftovers for the whole week. You do that. That's
Rabbi, you yes. know that's how they can tell the difference between a bocher and a married person. Let's look at a cholent. On Thursday and Friday, and of course on Shabbos, it's the married men eat. The bocher eat it, and yeshiva they give shalom. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's the married men that they get it.
Very good, very good, very good, very good, very good, very good. Excellent, excellent. That what a great idea. Now, do we do this today? No, this is not accepted. This is not an accepted approach in halacha. This is not accepted, but it's worthy to appreciate this, the principle of the loveness. Why not? Another very big issue is what about Milava Malka? This Yishno is an explosive issue because this is very relevant. Are you allowed to have meat at a Milava Malka? So many Paiskim say the following rule. The exception is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is very machmir. Rav Moshe Feinstein says under no condition, no and if or buts, under no condition are you allowed to have basar mitzvah Shabbos for Milava Malka. Not leftovers and not, certainly not nothing fresh. It is categorically forbidden. Many other Paiskim seem to say that it depends. If you religiously have Malava Malka every Mitzvah Shabbos of the year, and you really have Malava Malka the way a Jew should have Malava Malka, then you can have Basa. You can have even fresh. You can buy, especially go on Mitzvah Shabbos or prepare, but we have fresh Basa for Malava Malka. If and only if you can be honest with yourself and you can say every Mitzvah Shabbos, I sit down, I spread out the table, I set the table, I light candles, I sing the Zmiris, I have a Malava Malka, Kedasu Chadin. Yeah, you can have Basar Malava Malka to Sudas Mitzvah. But you want to be a phony? You never had Basar the whole year. Now, all of a sudden, this Mitzvah Shabbos Chazon, you want to have Basar, so you want to make a Malava Malka, Sudas Mitzvah? No. You can't do that. Others make a Pshara. They say, if you do it every single Shabbos, you can have leftovers from Shabbos to draw upon the leniency that we just mentioned one moment ago. Since Me'ikar Adin, there are many poskim that said that the food that you put for Shabbos becomes mutar chefsa dehetera. Therefore, if you have leftovers, you could eat the leftovers from Malava Malka, provided every mitzvah Shabbos you have Malava Malka. So they don't want to be chelik on Rav Moshe ad kedei kach. Rav Moshe says, no, never, ever. Usser. Yikoyev hadin es ahor. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he didn't go for nonsense. You see always the pesukim of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Yikoyev hadin emes. He took halacha, no fudging of halacha. Other pesukim, they fudge a little bit over here. Yimitztarif ahet, azoy. So since anyway there's such a principle that the meat for Shabbos is chefsa teheta, and you can either, we don't go so far, and there's such a mahalich that you can really have Malav Malka, Malav Malka, Dohi, Sudos, Dov Malka, you have Malav Malka. But if you combine the two together, it's okay. If you do it every Mitzvah Shabbos, and even leftovers, that is okay. And there's another interesting, one of the point about why it should be permitted. It's a very interesting idea, and this applies to Hatzalah. Why are the people of Hatzalah allowed to come home? Someone goes on a Hatzalah call, and he goes, they tell the guy, we got to go to a hospital, all the way, because the only hospital that this guy can be treated in is this place. So Hatzalah will take Hatzalah, they have a lot of very strict rules of where they take you. Okay, once dealt with them in a certain inion of where they didn't want to go somewhere. They said, we cannot do that, I'm sorry. They told me exactly who to call, and they called them, and they took us. They were very good, but they cannot do it. They have very, very interesting rules. They have a lot of everything is on the books. But let's say you have a person, the only place he can be treated is in who knows where. So they go, are they allowed to come back? You bet. They can come back, Mechalel Shabbos galore. to get back where they came from. They can do it. The question is, why? The mitzvah is pikuach nefesh, to take the person to go, not to come back. So Rav Moshe writes about this. If you're not going to let him come back, he's not going to go. You don't believe me? Try it. If you're going to tell the Hatzolah members that you cannot come back, you're going to be stuck in the hospital, they're not going. You're going to have a drop in the volunteers, and it's going to be EMS for Shabbos. It's not going to be Hatzolah. So therefore, they're allowed to come back. If you tell people that on Shabbos Chazoin, all of the leftovers are going in the garbage, you know what's going to happen? They're not going to buy anything. They're going to buy crumbs. Shabbos Chazoin, I'm going to go buy. Normally, I'm a gevir. I spend for Shabbos Chazoin. I spend whatever. But not this, because this week it's all going in the garbage. So then it's going to come to zilzul of Shabbos. So we tell you, buy whatever you want to buy. Be mechabe the Shabbos. Don't be concerned that the leftovers will go to waste, because you know what? You can eat the leftovers. It's no different than the svara of the chil Shabbos. If we know, you know that you're not going to be able to come back, you're not going to go, so you can come back. If we know that we tell you, you whatever leftovers you have for Shabbos, the meat will go in the garbage, you're not going to buy meat altogether. So you know what? Buy whatever you want for Shabbos, and whatever you have leftovers, you can eat. There's another svara why me'ikar hadin, it's really mutter to eat the leftovers after Shabbos. It's all part of that halacha l'mayis. I guess Baruch Hashem, we're blessed. Affluent society. People, Baruch Hashem, are blessed. Not everyone has so much money. I don't know. I really don't know. But for whatever reason, it has been accepted that we don't eat meat during the 9 days. No leftovers. Malava Malka. Most people do not eat Malava Malka the whole year in a way that allows them to have a Malav Malka with meat. It's extremely rare, few and far between, such people who really have Malav Malka, Kedasu Chedin. So basically, the basic meaning is no meat. What about the leftovers? Put it in the freezer for Shabbos Nachamu. Okay, we're out of time. Let's summarize in 30 seconds. What did we learn today? We learned today, Me'ikar Hadin, the only time you cannot eat meat is the Suda HaMafsekes. The Rambam says there's a minug not to eat meat shvur shechalboy. The Rambam says there's a minug not to engage in shechita from Rish Chodesh Av. The Torah says there's a minug not to eat meat from Rish Chodesh Av. Where did the Torah derive that minug from? Perhaps from the Yerushalmi, which speaks about the Noshim, Noshe Didon. According to the Gersa, that says that they did not only drink wine, they did not eat meat. The Torah acknowledges this is the Minag Yisrael. The Torah, the Beis Yosef, says, you bet it is. And the Beis Yosef says, not only does the Torah say this, this is the Rashba, this Rishon that says this. Ad Kedei Kach, if you violate this, you are in trouble. Yishachenu Nochash. You don't, no games here. And the Ramah says, don't forget about the Rambam. Don't forget that just because you can't eat meat, but don't forget you're not allowed to do shechita either. Why don't we eat meat? Simcha and acknowledgement of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. L'may nafgamina, poultry, exotic types of meats. Another nafgamina, fish. Bottom line, fish is mutter. All types of meat, even poultry and exotic meats, is osir. What about the food you have for Shabbos? Can you have it during the weekday? There's a lot of grounds to say you can't have it. From the Gemara in Chulin about the chira of meat that was not slaughtered before they came to Eretz Yisrael, and the svara that if we're not going to let you eat the leftovers, then you're not going to be prepared, you're not going to be mechabe the Shabbos. That's a terrible aver, not mechabe the Shabbos. Halacha l'maisa, what about Malava Malka? All depends on what kind of person you are. Halacha l'maisa, we don't do it. Halacha l'maisa, the entire Chodesh Av, it is Pasha that we do not eat meat at all, unless it's a Sudas Mitzvah, a Siyum, or a Sudas Mitzvah, and even that's also a big topic of discussion. When is it proper to make it? In any way, we should be zoiche once again to eat v'neichal min ha-psochim min ha-zvochim, like we say in the Haggadah, we should be zoiche once again to eat the meat of the Kadoshim and gain the spiritual bliss and the kapara of the ochlu oisam asher kubar bohem b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.
Amen.
Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yossi. Thank you for joining me.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, listen, the Haggadah Maimonides, he has to, you should look at it, because it says there's another verse in Amra, it says Amra, that they should knit. And
Amra, knitting.
During the
right.
9 days.
Not even drinking wine.
It's two different sheikhs in the Haggadah Maimonides.
And what, does he mention their basar?
It's not Chamra, it says Amra.
Amra, that's for the wine. And what about Basar?
It doesn't say like what you said in the Haggadah Maimonides. It doesn't really say the way you said it.
What does he say?
That's why I said you should look at it.
I gotta look at it, okay.
It's very small print, but I'm looking at it. And, he gets into mostly about washing clothes.
Does he quote, does he say the source, the Yerushalmi? Where is Yerushalmi?
But it says the Garcinon, the Yerushalmi, Mokum Shenogu, Amo Shmuel, Ani Noshi, the Nagi, the Lo Lemishte Chamra, like you said, Mino Og. It says, Olil, it says, Minig, Viesh Garcin, Shalo Lemishte Amra. Al apirish laro, in other words, the knit.
The Haggadah Maimonides.
It's Hamra. That's the H garsa.
Right. So, but his girsa doesn't even acknowledge that it says anywhere in the Yerushalmi the minig of Noshim not to eat meat.
Right. It does.
Right. Right.
Because I looked.
Right,
in the,
right.
I looked.
No, so where is the Yerushalmi? Where is the Yerushalmi?
And I looked up there, and it doesn't say.
Where is the Yerushalmi? Where is it?
So he's got whatever it is. I'm sure what he wrote in the Avnei Shalom, he knows what he's saying.
Where's the Yerushalmi? What's the Yerushalmi?
I'm looking in the Lecha Mishnah and the Magid Mishnah. Basically, what they're saying is the machlokes about wearing iron clothes after Yom Kippur. If you shouldn't wear it during the 9 days. If you ironed it, washed and ironed, and put it away for after or before, there's a machlokes about what you're allowed to do. To put on freshly laundered clothes, you could put it, if you washed it before, you could put it on. There are those that say you can't even put it on during, but those say if you did it before, you can. But then there's those that are machmir even more, that you can't put it on things that were washed during the 9 days, you can't put it on after the 9 days.
Okay, I found it. Here, it's the Torah. The Torah talks about it. The Torah himself says it.
Okay, yeah, that's what I mean.
Simin Tov Kuf. Now, I'll read you what it says.
I have the Torah in Shul.
Okay, Tov Kuf Nun Aleph. I'll read you what it says.
I have the Shulchan Aruch, but if the Torah is there. So.
Let me read what it says.
Things that are washed before the 9 days, can we wear them clean on the 9 days?
No, you have to. They're not allowed to be freshly laundered. You have to wear them for a few minutes. Today, before Shkia.
Mark, take all your clothes, spread them all over the house.
I remember in camp.
You got to wear it. Whatever you're not allowed to wear freshly laundered garments.
In your closet that were washed a few weeks ago would be the same rule?
Yes. Whatever you're planning to wear during the 9 days, only shirts, pants, and jackets, not undergarments. Any outer garment has to be worn today for a few minutes. A few minutes in order to, they should no longer be considered freshly laundered garments. So that's a very important, it's a very chomer. That halacha, there's very little room to budge in that halacha. That's much more chomer than eating meat. Eating meat is a minhag. Freshly laundered garments is halacha. It's stronger. It's a rigid halacha.
Yai. You spread them out and step on them.
Right, that's a kula. That's a leniency. You can wear multiple garments at the same time if you want. You can put on three shirts at the same time if you can get them on, two pairs of pants, and run around the house. Don't make sure your wife doesn't see you do this.
Alrighty.
Let me read you the Torah. I found the Torah. You see? Hane Noshe Dinehige de Lemishte Amra. I can use Amra. Migoy de Isle Amra's wool. Lemishte Amra. Migoy de Isle Av Minhaga. The Istigarase. This is the Torah writing. De Loy Lemechal Bisra. Ulemishte. Okay, it's spelled with a yud. Lemashte. When it's amra, it's no yud. Lemashte, I guess, means to knit. Lemishte chamra. Okay, so he quotes over here two girsois. One is lemashte amra, and then he quotes the girsa lemechal to eat bosor, ulemishte to drink chamra. Dagois maimini, he says, only a third girsa. Deloy lemishte chamra. So there he has a combination of three girsois citing the achronim who quote, the rishonim who quote. One is, two of them have the yud, lemishte, to drink, but one gir says only not to drink yayin, no mention of meat. The other gir says not to eat meat and not to drink wine. And the third gir says this has nothing to do with eating or drinking. This has to do with no yud in the word lemishte, so it's lemashte, which seemingly means to knit, to prepare clothing. So according to two of the three girsois, there's no makar. We do not have an ancient source for not eating meat from Rosh Chodesh Av. There is no ancient source. It's a new custom that has been accepted. This goes back already during the 13th century. But the 13th century is not the Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi is taking you back 800 years earlier. If it's authentic that in the Talmud Yerushalmi it says that women did not eat meat the entire Chodesh Av, Yerushalmi was written in the year 500, in the 6th century, was finished. So you have, wow, that's really powerful. A real source not to eat meat from Rosh Chodesh Av, only by women. Why women? I don't know why women. But at least there's something to work with and extend it to men. But if you're going to tell me there's no such girsa, it's a baba maisa, there's no such girsa, so where then does it come, this new custom? It's a new custom. It's a new custom that's only 500 years old, 600 years old, 700 years old. It's relatively speaking a new custom. The only old custom is the Rambam, and that's also a Rishon, which is going back a little bit earlier. That's also not rooted in anything that we have in the Gemara of not doing a Maisa Shechita. Okay, so it's very interesting when you search for the sources of our customs, you know what comes up is very, very fascinating. The bottom line is we take all the Chumers together. The slaughterhouses are closed, and we do not eat meat starting tonight after sundown. Chatzoy, after Shkia, sunset. Sunset, that's it. Go on a diet, no more meat. Unless you have a seam every single day or you go to a bris and they serve meat.
Okay, Shkia, have a good day, everybody. Call to.
You have the same Shaila. If you didn't go to the bris, but there's food left over from the bris.
It's true. It is interesting. Yeah, Yilchari is saying very good. He's saying good. It should be this. He doesn't talk about that. He does not talk about that, but Yilchari is saying very good. It should be the same Shaila. Once this
maybe
food is mutter.
Even better, because it's a Suda Mitzvah.
Yeah, the same thing. Shabbos.
Shabbos is not necessarily a Suda Mitzvah.
No, you can't say that's not true.
Not a Suda Mitzvah. Pidyon HaBen is a Suda Mitzvah.
Okay, so ask your question on the Pidyon HaBen.
It's a Suda.
If you make a Pidyon HaBen and catered fleishig and it's left over, can you eat it?
That'll be the same shal. Obviously, the Minhag Yisrael is no. Obviously, that goes without saying. The Minhag Yisrael is absolutely not. We don't do this. You don't see people doing this. Unheard of. But you know, in order to appreciate these things, you have to appreciate that some hold it would be mutter. And that would be, and the only really nafkamina would be malava malka. You can combine that as a sniff. A sniff is a secondary reason why you'll be allowed to have malava malka with leftovers from Shabbos. That's really the only place that's a nafkamina l'halacha l'maisa. People want to have malava malka, and they want to eat leftover meat from Shabbos. So there's something there to work with, and maybe you can be lenient.
What about Baltashkas as a sniff?
Nope. halacha overrides the minog Yisrael. That's an old Yisoid. Minog Yisrael overrides Baal Tashchis. The tainus of the Ravid. You know what the tainus of the Ravid is? The ta'anit ha-ravid. No, is that when you eat, you should never eat a full portion.
Leave over.
What do you mean? You go to a restaurant, each little piece of the steak costs $10. You're going to leave over $15, $20 worth of steak on the plate? What, you're going to waste it? It's Baal Tashchis, $20 down the drain? No, it's not. It's not Baal Tashchis. By me not eating this piece of meat, I am exercising restraint. That's not
someone
worth.
Someone else could come and eat the meat.
Okay, maybe. But let's say there's no one else that wants to touch your plate because of corona. They're not going to touch your leftovers. Corona. They're not going to touch it. So that means you throw it and you're hungry. Listen, you're hungry. Your stomach is hungry. You're throwing in the garbage $20. $20 down the drain. No poor person's going to eat this. And you're hungry. You're throwing in the garbage $20. Baal Tashchis, the answer is, discipline to self-control is not worth $20. It's not worth to have that impact on your neshama to train yourself. People pay a lot more money to personal trainers to tell them how to kick and move their legs. Your neshama to make an impact. I'm in control, not the steak. It's not worth $20. It's worth $20. That's not called Baal Tashchis. If the halacha says that you're not allowed to eat meat, and all this stuff goes down the drain, so be it. This is an old shaila. Baal Tashchis is all relative to the big picture. The big picture.
I didn't understand what you said before. After the bias reshine, they didn't have any more any carbonates?
Nothing. Nothing. Huh? Bottle. You're not allowed to. What do you mean?
After the bias reshine.
After the bias reshine, what do you mean? Privately in your backyard? We're referring to
when they came back, Ezra came back to the Beis Hamikdash.
It says they did offer korbanos, but that they offered korbanos because it already had the status of the Beis Sheni.
Okay, so during the 9 days they ate the korbanos, right?
Well, let me ask you a general question. During the time of the 420 years of the Beis Sheni, did they fast on Tisha B'Av?
Yes.
It's machloikis in the Gemara.
Yeah, but why not? Because Tisha B'Av had to do with the Meraglim still back. There were a lot of things happened at Tisha B'Av, right?
Correct. Exactly. So the machloikis. What exactly is Tisha B'Av?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so that's a side question there. Also,
but your question is if on Tisha B'Av they were makar the carbon,
yeah.
If they wouldn't eat it, it would be pigel. So they had to eat it.
I'm not talking about the day itself. We're talking about that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, in general, korbanos came to an end. I'm not talking about this particular day. Tisha B'Av is the day when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And what was
but
the consequence?
Between the first and the second, you had 400 years that they were makriv korbanos.
Okay, fine. But we're not commemorating those 400 years.
Right. Tisha B'Av, so 400 years specifically,
yeah.
Only those days.
Yeah.
They ate meat on the...
Okay, fine. So fine, they ate meat. That's not what we're commemorating. Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about then.
What they did during those 420 years, the Gemara talks about. The Gemara has a machloikis. Did they fast during those 420 years?
Forget fast. Did they eat meat from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av?
I guess, I don't know the exact answer, but I guess it all depends on that machlokes. According to the opinions that said that they ate on Tisha B'Av, if they ate on Tisha B'Av, l'cha'ira, there was no such thing as the 9 days. There were no restrictions whatsoever if they actually ate on Tisha B'Av. But if you're going to say that even during the time of the Baal Sheni, they fasted because they were mourning the fact that the Baal Sheni was only a skeleton of the Baal Sheni.
Right.
So the same way they observed Tisha B'Av, I'm assuming they observed the 9 days. Were there exceptions in the Beis HaMikdash? Certainly. In the Beis HaMikdash, they certainly ate the korbanos. That was a Sudas Mitzvah. If Madach, you can eat meat when you make a Siyum, Alachas Kama V'Kama, you can eat the meat of a korban. A carbon is infinitely greater than the meat eaten by a seam. A guy makes a seam on Masechta Makos. You eat the meat, you certainly eat the meat. You can eat meat. The Sudas Mitzvah, you can eat meat. So certainly in the Beis HaMikdash, when they brought a carbon during the 9 days, you can eat the meat. A carbon is much more sacred.
So it could be that the reason women accepted of not eating meat or not eating, drinking wine was because since they could never have the heter of the Beis HaMikdash.
What do you mean by that? What does that mean?
Even let's say that in the Amcha festival and the Tisha B'Av, but in the Beis HaMikdash they were Ma'ale Korbanos.
Yeah.
It was never women.
I don't understand. I told you, it's nothing to do with the day itself. It has to do with the concept. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there are no more korbanos. For 2,000 years, there are no korbanos. It's not about the day itself. Erev Tisha B'Av, the halacha is, the Suda HaMavsekes, there's no meat. Why is there no meat? It's not about because tomorrow there's no meat. It's because tomorrow...
You're coming out, yeah.
It's because
you're chopping out.
I'm chopping out?
Yeah. You dropped out.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
Tomorrow when we do not eat meat for the Suda HaMavsekes, it's not because the calendar date of what they did exactly on this date. That's not what it's about. Is that when the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, for 2,000 years, we're not going to have korbanos. And as a way of mourning, acknowledgement that the korbanos are going to be gone for 2,000 years, this particular meal, we don't have meat. It's not about specifically what were they doing exactly 2,000 years ago at this point in time. It's not the moment. It's the principle, the concept.
All right. Shkoyach.
All right.
Take care, everybody.
Have some good meat now.
Yes, Amali. Come here. What do you want me to change it to? What should I change it to?
All right. Have a good day, everybody. Thank you for joining me. Take care.